May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind. Now I see. Images of blindness and sight pervade our religious thinking. It is one of the major themes in the Gospel of John. I'm sure most, if not all of you, know the word, this first verse of a very popular hymn. I'm thinking many of you were probably thinking them along with me. Be glad I didn't sing it for you. These words reflect basic impulses of light and darkness. Perceiving and misperceiving, getting it and remaining unaware of what is right in front of you. These famous words were composed by an Englishman, John Newton, on Christmas, 1772. Earlier in life, the Reverend Newton was a naval officer and later a captain of a slaver trader ship, profiting from the transport of human cargo. He began his conversion. Recovery of sight, if you will, during a violent storm at sea in 1748, during which he came to understand that the survival of the ship, his crew, and its cargo was only by the grace of God. He continued exploring his newfound faith and was eventually ordained an Anglican priest. Over the next several decades, he came to see the violence and injustice of the slave trade, and later in life, lobbied forcefully in Parliament to make it illegal, an effort that proved successful in England in 1807. To put this into a little perspective regarding our nation's relationship with slavery, this was 2 years before Abraham Lincoln was born. Our readings today are also deeply concerned with blindness and sight, with knowing and not. But what we are really presented with are invitations to come to understand more fully the very nature of God. The Hebrew scripture today is the conclusion of the book of Job. Job, as we may recall, is a man beset by overwhelming calamity at the instigation of the angel accuser, called the Satan, who persuades God to allow Job's faith to be tested by trials of ever-increasing deprivation and isolation. The only limitation God places is that Satan may not kill Job. Job's faith remains secure, but he certainly sees the injustice of his situation and rails against God about it, framing his argument within the context of a legal argument. His friends are of no help either, advising Job he has obviously done something very sinful to merit such treatment from God. After several speeches by God to Job, however, Job comes to understand more fully the power of God, the intent and the perspective of God, and to realize that even in the tragic and seemingly unexplainable, God is present. In our reading today, we hear Job confess his misunderstanding and recant his previous words. He exclaims that he had heard of God and the ways of God before, but now he sees. Job has come to see himself in new relationship with God, which gives him new understanding and insight into both himself and his situation. For this, he is richly rewarded with a double restoration of all his fortune, and he died old and full of days, having lived long enough to see his great-great-grandchildren. Our gospel reading today touches on these same themes. While on the surface appearing to be another of Jesus' miraculous healings, this short episode is loaded with deeper instruction and meaning. On first pass, we have a blind beggar who is immediately healed after calling to Jesus from the side of the road. But what is really going on here? In order to more fully understand, we must look at both the content of this particular story and its larger place and context within the Gospel of Mark as a whole. The healing of this blind man, Bartimaeus, in the 10th chapter, is linked with the healing of an unnamed blind man at Bethsaida, which occurs in chapter 8. We have spent the last 6 weeks exploring these two intervening chapters, walking with Jesus and the disciples as they continue their way to Jerusalem. Along the way, Jesus has been trying to teach his disciples important and difficult lessons about the realities and responsibilities of discipleship, as well as telling them directly 3 times. When they get to Jerusalem, he will be arrested, tortured, and executed, that he may rise again in 3 days. This journey and these teachings have all occurred between the healings of these two blind men. In Bible speak, this is called an inclusio, or bookend, the bracket, important information. Mark is therefore highlighting the teachings we have heard over the last few weeks, telling us to pay special attention to them. But he is also contrasting the miraculously restored sight of the two blind men, and hopefully the insight of us as readers, with the persistent blindness and inability of the disciples to grasp what is literally right in front of them. As one commentary put it, blind Bartimaeus functions for Mark to show what a true disciple looks like. If the disciples had eyes to see, they will perceive that in this story, it is the blind who lead the blind. It is the physically, literally blind who lead the figuratively and spiritually blind. By the time we get to our encounter with Bartimaeus, Jesus and his disciples have nearly arrived at Jerusalem. Jericho is only 16 miles away. Jesus is about to begin his passion. The Palm Sunday account, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, begins immediately after this healing. As they are leaving Jericho, blind Bartimaeus is in his usual place, begging by the side of the road. He can certainly hear the commotion approaching with the large crowds that usually follow Jesus. Unlike the blind man in chapter 8, who was brought to Jesus by his friends who implored Jesus to touch him, when Bartimaeus heard who was causing such a commotion, he began to actively and aggressively seek Jesus. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," he cries. The crowd tries to quiet him, becoming unwitting obstacles to Bart's faith, to what that faith is driving him to seek. But he is not deterred. Once more, he shouts at Jesus even louder, addressing him again as Son of David. Only the demons and unclean spirits, recognizing Jesus for who he truly is, have used this language before. And Jesus has always immediately silenced them. This is the first use of this ancient royal messianic language by a human witness in Mark. Jesus does not silence Bartimaeus. And in his exclamation, we hear the first echoes of the familiar refrain that reverberated from the very walls of Jerusalem soon thereafter, as Jesus entered the city, riding a donkey, while the crowds threw palm branches on the road before him and sang, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Jesus stops and calls Bartimaeus to him. Bart jumps up, and unlike the rich man earlier who was unable to let go and follow Jesus, he immediately leaves his cloak, quite possibly the only real possession he has, and goes to Jesus. Unlike the blind man at Bethsaida, Jesus does not touch this man to heal him. Rather, he tells him that his faith has made him well, and he immediately regains his sight. And unlike the previous healing, when the man was taken aside to be healed and then admonished to not even go into the village and not to tell anyone, Bartimaeus was healed before the crowd,
And even though he was told to go, we are told he stayed and immediately became a follower of Jesus. So it is that we may assume Bartimaeus then continued on to Jerusalem with Jesus and his followers and participated in that first Palm Sunday and witnessed Jesus' subsequent passion, crucifixion, and resurrection. So what does all this talk of inclusios and healing blindness have to do with any of us? The underlying assumption is that, unlike the disciples in Mark's account, we get it. Or at least we get it better than they do. In that sense, Bartimaeus is us. We may not share the depth of his faith or the expanse of his enthusiasm, but he is us. We too are invited to be healed by our faith and to see God in our midst. We too are invited to follow Jesus on the way. We too are invited to witness his passion, death, and resurrection, the very actions by which he secures reconciliation with God and us and all creation. We are invited to see, to really see, this wonderful, graceful gift given of the fathomless love of God for all of us. Seeing is an extremely complex activity that involves much, much more than simply open eyes. Perception, understanding, and interpretation are all components of a process that is much more than impulses of light falling into those open eyes. It is the difference between sight and insight. The disciples were unable to overcome their fear and grasp the very presence of God among them in the person of Jesus. Once Job came to see God rather than hear God, he came to understand his new relationship with God, which gave him a better understanding of himself. Bartimaeus provides the example of a person with a fullness of faith that allows him, even though blind, to perceive and accept the presence of God when it is presented to him. Would that we all had such faith. Like Job, we need to come to understand the new relationship we have with God, which for us is manifested by the entrance of the divine into human history in the person of Jesus. Like Bartimaeus, we need to have faith to see that presence before us, and the courage to accept it and to follow. I once was lost,